In the play Charlie Brown Christmas, Charlie Brown asks Linus, "Does anyone know the meaning of Christmas?" To which Linus responded, "I do." And he proceeds to walk out on stage and quote from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Birth announcements come today in a variety of ways. You can purchase cards which announce a baby's birth that can then be sent to family and friends. You can make your announcement on Facebook, on Instagram. Kay saw this announcement when something like this: could be pink, could be blue. All we know is we are due. And then underneath was the date. Some hospitals play a lullaby when a baby has just been born. Well, the Lord Jesus' birth was announced as well. It was an announcement like no one else's. It was made by an angel. And this morning I want us to revisit what this angel had to say by looking first, and this is our first point, the people to whom the announcement was made. And then point number two is the announcement itself. Point number three is the chorus which followed the announcement. Well, let's pray, and then we'll look at the birth announcement of our Lord. Father, I'm thankful so much that we can remember the greatest birth that ever took place. We call it Christmas. Thank you, Lord, that Christ came. He was born of a virgin. He was born to die that we might live. And I pray that we'll see this morning, and I know we're so familiar with this story, but I pray that we'll see this morning truly the one who came over 2,000 years ago. Might we understand who is that babe in a manger. In Jesus' name, amen. Point number one, the people to whom the birth of Christ was first announced is stated in verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds. The announcement was made to shepherds. And what were they doing? They were abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, why this message of hope came first to shepherds and not to the high and mighty, to the Pharisees, the high priests, the Sadducees of that day, tells us that God draws near to the needy, to the poor in spirit. And shepherds in Christ's day were despised by the good and the respectable people of that day. They were near the bottom of the social ladder. They were just above the lepers. So that tells you how far down they went. They were the uneducated. They were the unskilled. And because sheep required care 7 days a week, shepherds were not unable to comply with all the man-made Sabbath regulations developed by the Pharisees. And as a result, they were viewed as being in continual violation of the religious laws and hence were ceremonially unclean. They were not welcome in the temple. But that these lowly, humble people were singled out to receive this great honor suggests that these shepherds were truly devout men who believed in the true and living God. They were of the Israelites looking for the consolation of Israel, the redemption of Jerusalem. Now let me say Christ's message of hope is not going to be accepted and believed by the self-righteous and the self-sufficient. In their thinking, they need not a physician. They need not a Savior. They need not Jesus. And Jesus knows this. He knows your heart. And He calls not the righteous, those trusting in their religion, those trusting in their good works, to repentance. He does not come near them, but the sinners, the lowly, the afflicted, which oftentimes include the outcasts, the poor of society, those who are broken over their sins and are willing to humble themselves in repentance. Those Christ has come to heal and to save. Ladies and gentlemen, make sure this Christmas, make sure every Christmas, you have a heart that knows you need a Savior. Christmas will mean really nothing to you until you come to that point that you realize you need that Savior who was born 2,000 years ago. I think too often even Christians forget that they still need a Savior. I think of what Christ said in Luke chapter 18, verses 13 and 14. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. Christ's response, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, but he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Let me say to you this morning, whatever your status in life might be, maybe you are educated, maybe you are wealthy, maybe you're not. But if you are to effectively receive the announcement of Christ's birth, you too must see yourself as a sinner in need of the saving grace and mercy of God. The proud, the self-righteous aren't visited by the angel. For again, in their thinking, they need not a physician. I say, don't be of that crowd. Well, and notice how the announcement was made. While these particular shepherds were watching their sheep in the region around Bethlehem, verse 9 says, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. Now, this angel is not specifically identified. But in light of his earlier appearances to Zechariah, to Mary, it probably was the angel Gabriel. And then in adding immeasurably to the shepherd's shock and awe, the glory of the Lord shone round about them. So not only did this angel appear, but there was the glory of God, the aura of God that surrounded this angel that actually pierced the darkness of the sky that evening. It blazed forth out of the darkness. And what a light that must have been. Ladies and gentlemen, the light of God is a light that shines brightly. As you recall throughout Scripture, God's glorious presence was manifested in brilliant light. For example, when Adam and Eve were forever banished from the Garden of Eden, they saw God's glory via the angel with a flaming sword. Further, God's glory was manifested to Israel in the wilderness, the pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night that led them through the wilderness. And then later at the dedication of the tabernacle, and we can read of that in Exodus 40, and thereafter the temple, 1 Kings 8, the glory of the Lord was seen. But after centuries of sin and rebellion, the glory of God left the temple, symbolizing its withdrawal from Israel and would not appear again until this very night, this holy night, this historic night, when it signified that God's presence was once again entering the world, this time through the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of life, the light of the world. No wonder the glory of the Lord shone round about them. Now, understandably, the shepherd's response to the appearance of this angel surrounded by God's glory was one of fear. As Luke writes at the end of verse 9, they were sore afraid, which, by the way, was the normal response by those in Scripture encountered by an angel. Certainly, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel are such examples. While seeing the shepherds' overt terror, verse 10 says, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not." Now, there is a sense in which it is right to fear God, for the Bible declares the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But the redeemed do not need to be terrified of God. They need to fear God, but they don't need to be terrified of God. Remember Paul's words to the Romans, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father." And so there is a difference between being fearfully terrified and being fearfully respectful and reverent. And always when we come to the house of the Lord, there should be that respect, there should be that reverence. We call it in the Scriptures fearing God. After all, God, as we come into His presence, we come to meet our Heavenly Father. There should be, as there, young people, as you should respect your earthly father, there should be even more respect for your Heavenly Father. Amen? But again, God has not given us the spirit of fear. We don't have to be terrified by the presence of our God and Father. Not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now these shepherds did not need to fear, for the angel had come bearing good tidings. Good news, the Greek word used here is evangelizo. We get our English word evangelist or evangelism from this word. The angel's message was not one of judgment, but one of salvation. And thus it provides great joy to its listeners. I mean, there should be great joy when we know this is the message of salvation. This is the message I need of salvation. Don't let the message of salvation just pass over you. Great joy. It produces great joy to its listeners. The joy that Peter described as unspeakable and full of glory. Angel continued, "Which shall be to all people." all who are willing to hear and receive this message of hope and salvation. Have a heart this morning that receives this message of hope and salvation, for there is hope in no other. The only hope you have in this life is the hope that comes through the hope of Jesus Christ. Don't let your heart become hardened. Don't let it become, well, that's just what I've heard since I was a boy or a girl. Sometimes I think even with Christians, we just are so, Christmas has become so commercialized that we don't even take time to meditate on the reason for this season. That which shall be to all people, all who are willing again to hear and receive this message of hope and salvation. Are you of that company? The Greek word for people here is laos. You've heard of a country named Laos? Well, that means people. It refers first to the Jews, and salvation is from the Jews, John 4:22. But then it includes the Gentiles. Remember what Simeon said after he saw Jesus in the temple. Luke chapter 2, verses 30 and 32. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. He is praying, mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles of the glory of thy people, Israel. And Simeon's words reflected the truth spoken in the Isaiah's prophecy. And let me read Chapter 60, verses 1 through 3. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of thy Lord, and the Lord is upon thee, or is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising, which all tells us the gospel is for both Jews and Gentiles. In giving us the great commission, Christ said to his disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And as Christ's followers, as Christians, let us be faithful to do just that. Which brings us to our second point, and that is the announcement itself. We have seen to whom the announcement was made, and that was made to whom? To shepherds. Now let's see what was announced. Verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David. And what is city is the city of David? It's what? Bethlehem. House of bread. I think it's so special that the one who is the bread of life was born in the house of bread. Isn't that beautiful? It's born this day in the city of David, Bethlehem, this tiny, insignificant hamlet. Remember what Micah 5:2 says, But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little amongst the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth. That is to be ruler of Israel, whose going forth has been from of old, from everlasting. Unto you is born this day in the city of David. And notice now how the angel describes this one who has just been born. And he uses three descriptive titles. He says, the one who has just been born is Savior, which is, then he continues, Christ the Lord. So the angel calls Christ, gives him three titles, Savior, Christ, and what's the third one? Lord. He begins with Savior. And that's no accident. Because if Christ is to be your Messiah and Lord, he first must be your what? Your Savior. Everything begins, our relationship with the living God begins with our relationship with Christ, which means he first must be our Savior. And this is such an appropriate title, for Jesus was born to save his people from their sins. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." Now, too often, Jesus is presented as the one who will make your life better. He will save your marriage. Just bring Jesus into your life and you'll have this wonderful marriage. He will give you financially, he will make you financially successful. He will take a dysfunctional family and make them functional. He will give you good health. I mean, I've heard pastors, preachers say, if you're of ill health, there must be some reason, or there must be something wrong between you and God, you and Jesus. Where do you find that in the Bible? He will make you successful. Maybe you will be one of the best and the brightest. Just add Jesus to your life. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't just add Jesus to our life, we make him our life. We make him. He is our life. He is our salvation. And by the way, you have to make him. I mean, you have to allow him to be this. He's not just going to force his way into your heart. You have to invite him to come in. Let me just say, Jesus certainly does make a huge difference in every area of our life. But he came to remedy mankind's most pressing need, which is sin and all of its negative, corrupting effects. As we'll say tonight, sin mars its victims. Oh, the damage sin does to the life. But Jesus has come to save us. And so the true gospel message is that Jesus has come into the world to save people, to rescue people from their sin and guilt, from the wages of sin, which is death. Hallelujah, what a Savior. That's why he came, to rescue us. And we need rescuing. If you don't think you need rescuing this morning, you are dead in trespasses and sins and you don't even know it. You know, it's one thing to know you need to be rescued. It's another thing if you don't even realize you need to be rescued. God, deliver us from such hard hearts. Sometimes I think, even after we've been saved for years and years, we fail to realize how significant the rescue of our hearts and souls really is. And therefore, the angel appropriately said again to the shepherds, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." Aren't you glad he came first as our Savior? I ask, has he saved you? He's knocking on your heart's door and says, "Let me come in. Let me come in and be your Savior." Now the angel's second descriptive title is Christ. And Christ and its Old Testament counterpart, Messiah, both mean anointed one. The one placed in a high office, who is worthy of exaltation and honor. He is God's appointed king, the King of Kings. He is the one who will sit on David's throne and reign forever and ever. He is our great high priest. He is the mediator between God and man, who ever lives to make intercession for us. And Christ is also prophet, making him God's final and greatest. And Jesus is truly the Christ, the Messiah. And then the angel called Jesus Lord. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a what? Savior, which is Christ the Lord. When I was born, it was Bobby. Bobby doesn't quite have the ring as Savior, Christ, and Lord. Amen? When the doctor came out, just think about this. This is back in 1953. Did I say something wrong? He'd say, well, you're old. But think about this. Back in 1953, when my mom went into labor, mom and dad didn't even know they were having twins. Can you imagine what a surprise that was? And so when the doctor brought, when the doctor announced my birth, because I was born 6 minutes before my twin sister, he said, I have a little preacher boy for you named Bobby. And then he said, I have a little girl. So they didn't, my poor sister didn't get named by the doctor, okay? But my birth doesn't even compare to the one who was called Savior, Christ, and Lord. Don't let that fly over you. Now, obviously, the title Lord is a term of respect and esteem. It is given to someone in a position of authority and leadership. But here in this context, Lord is a divine title, meaning to call this child Lord is to say that he is God. Lord in the Greek is kurios, and it conveys all that is implied by God's name Yahweh in the Hebrew, which we find in the Old Testament. In fact, the Septuagint translates kurios, Yahweh, into kurios. And the Septuagint, remember, is the Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament. And so Jesus is Lord. And to be saved, and we're not talking about lordship salvation here, okay? That is erroneous. Christ becomes your Lord after salvation. But what is being said here is you and I must confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father in order to be saved. In other words, we must believe, we must acknowledge that Jesus is God. Remember that verse in Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the what? Lord Jesus. And shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what?
Saved.
And so again, the angel said to the shepherds, this one who is born today in Bethlehem is Savior, is Messiah, and he is God. Now, I don't know about you, but that would get my attention. I mean, here's an angel with the glory of God surrounding this angel, declaring to these shepherds that a boy has just been born. And this one who has just been born is the long-awaited Savior, is the long-awaited Messiah. And that this long-awaited Savior and Messiah is actually God. The incarnate God in the flesh, one. I mean, what an announcement, amen? I respond, let's come and worship. Let's come and worship. Worship this newborn king. Well, then the angel gave the shepherds a sign by which they could recognize this Savior. After all, he was still just a what? A babe. Verse 12 says, "And ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Now, the fact that Jesus was wrapped in clothes was not unusual. Cloths, I should say. That was done to all Jewish babies. What would narrow the shepherd's search was the fact that Jesus would be lying in a manger, in a box, a trough, in a barn or stable, from which horses and cattle eat. Think about it. This one who is Savior, this one who is Messiah, this one who is God, they would find lying in a trough filled with hay. Even in Jesus' birth, he made himself of no reputation. And he took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. What a Savior we have. Which brings us to our third point. And that is the chorus which followed the announcement. And how appropriate. Don't you think there should have been a chorus that followed this announcement? While the angel was announcing to the shepherds the birth of Jesus, the birth of the Savior, the Messiah of God, verse 13 states, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying," you ask, well, how many were in this multitude of angels? Well, I respond, myriad of myriads. A myriad in the Greek is 10,000. If you want to know what the Greek word, really the Greek word goes up for myriad goes up to 10,000. And so what we could say is there were at least 10,000 times 10,000 angels, which is 100 what? Million. I mean, that's a lot of angels. Amen. I mean, the sky was filled with angels. Can you see it? I bet those angels couldn't wait to join Gabriel. As he was announcing Christ's birth. One author believes every one of God's angels was there because the most amazing event that had ever occurred in history was taking place. The physical birth of the Savior, the Messiah, and God. Well, then what did this multitude of angels do? Did they just kind of hover up in the heavens? Well, this heavenly host praised God. They ascribed glory to God. Job tells us that at the creation of the world, the morning stars, the angels sang together, and all the angels shouted for joy. And you can read that in Job 38, verse 7. Well, these angels again did some shouting as they joined their voices in celebration of the greatest creation of all, the birth of the God-man, the birth of the perfect Savior, Lord, and King. And thus they said, glory to God in the highest, which, and the word highest references heaven. And then they said, on earth, the lowest place in comparison with heaven. And then they added, peace, goodwill toward men. In other words, they said, as they said, glory to God, the giver. Glory to God, the giver of our Savior, the Messiah, and the God-man. Glory to God. For God so loved the world that He did what? He gave His only begotten Son. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Where we dwell, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. In other words, peace among men with whom God is pleased. The Greek literally says here, men of His good pleasure. And this peace is the peace with God that results from salvation. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through faith in the Messiah, the Prince of Peace, God and sinners are reconciled. Romans 5:10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And so this goodwill, this salvation peace, is not a reward for those who have goodwill. Goodwill is a good thing to have, amen? But it's God's gift to those who are the objects of God's goodwill. Which brings me to ask, have you been favored by God's grace? Do you know of this peace, this wholeness, this well-being? It comes to the seeking heart of those who, like the shepherds, declare, let us now go and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Ladies and gentlemen, Linus knew the real meaning of Christmas. What about you? Has this God, this Messiah, this Savior named Jesus saved you? Then and only then can God's peace and God's goodwill be the gifts of life He gives to you. You want to be the recipient of God's peace and God's goodwill. And it only comes to those who open their heart to this Savior, this Messiah, and this God. Again I say, what a birth announcement. Amen. It really is one of a kind.